Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Fáilte an Áis. President Michael D. Higgins says he'll be completely recovered from a mild stroke within 2 to 3 weeks. He said there was no cognitive impairment from what was described at the time as a transitory weakness. It has, though, affected his left side, including his arm and hip. President Higgins said he was working on a speech and about to meet a delegation from South Armagh when the stroke occurred on the 29th of February. And he said it began with a tingling in his left arm. So to tell us about the different types of stroke and how to recognise one, we're joined now by Professor Ronan Collins, who's the National Clinical Lead for Stroke. Professor Collins, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
Now, President Higgins is a learned man, and I'm sure he had great medical attention very quickly when he saw the signs. How common are mild strokes, though?
Well, the first thing is to wish President Higgins a very speedy recovery.
Indeed,
from his mild stroke. I know he got excellent treatment from my colleague, Professor Harbison, up there in St. James's. I think the first thing to say is that stroke is very common. About 1 in 4 of us, the lifetime risk of stroke is 1 in 4. And obviously, with a demography in our country as it is, we are experiencing the upward rise in the incidence of stroke. And certainly we're going to have a lot more strokes. The Stroke Alliance for Europe commissioned a study by King's College, the burden of stroke in Europe, and they anticipate about a 60% increase in the number of strokes in Ireland due to our demography.
Really? And there's
so
a whole range
a challenge.
Of them, Ronan.
Yeah, well, so stroke can be caused by 1 of 2 things. First of all, a stroke is either due to a blockage of a blood vessel in the brain or a rupture of a blood vessel in the brain. The present situation, thankfully, is rectifying itself. And as I said, I wish him a speedy recovery. But unfortunately, our stroke services, like many other of our hospital services, are under huge pressure. And without being overly political about it, there's a degree of frustration emerging between the clinical community and, I suppose, the political body of the health service, in the sense that when we're asked to give clinical leadership and write a stroke strategy by the then Minister for Health, Simon Harris, back in 2018, to meet the challenge of that 60% increase in number of strokes, we're not making any progress in the implementation of that strategy. And
there.
That's a worry. That is a worry.
In terms of what we're discussing here, Professor, what causes a stroke?
So it's caused usually by the most common type of stroke. 85% of strokes are due to a blockage of a blood vessel in the brain. The causes of that are multifactorial, but it can be down to an irregular heart rhythm, which is very common as we get older, called atrial fibrillation. It may be due to a narrowing of an artery in the neck, or indeed a narrowing of an artery in the brain. So that's the general kind of what we would call ischemic stroke, where the stroke is caused by a blockage in the brain. There is a very important minority of strokes, about 15%, which are due to a rupture of the blood vessel in the brain, and they're a more significant, serious type of stroke.
And can those things be caused by diet and lifestyle and stress, or can it be genetic as well?
Well, the first thing to say is that how you age when you are getting older depends on what you do when you're younger. So everyone who is listening, invest in your health in later life by living a healthy lifestyle, and be aware of the things that you do when you're younger will come back to visit you in the post in later life. And that applies to things like inactivity, to smoking, to alcohol, excess drug use, etc., etc. So try and lead a healthy life. But there are other aspects, of course, that things that we could that may not be in everyone's control or a degree of it is genetic. I think blood pressure is a very important, probably the single most important risk factor for developing stroke in later life, as it also damages the blood vessels, which causes stroke, and it leads to the development of that irregular heart rhythm I spoke to earlier. So if I was Minister for Health myself and I was investing in something into primary prevention, I'd invest in blood pressure screening and treatment.
Really? That'd be a very simple measure, wouldn't it? And accessible.
It is, because not only would it prevent stroke, but blood pressure is a very important risk factor. You've got to think of the organ at the end of the blood vessel receiving the head of pressure. So the organs at the end of the pipeline, like your kidneys, like your eyes, like your brain, suffer when that head of pressure is hitting it continuously, slapping into it, as it were. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, blood pressure is a very important risk factor for dementia, for stroke, for people going blind, for people developing kidney failure in later life, and also, of course, puts stress on the pump. clamp on your heart and causes heart failure. Okay. So blood pressure is a very important determinant of how you might age.
I'm sure you've done this before, but the next time we have the minister on, we'll put that recommendation to him as well. For the moment, we'll leave it there. Professor Ronan Collins, National Clinical Lead for Stroke. Thank you very much indeed.